Hurry up, brother.
When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenue, as you
tonight, want to turn with us over in Revelation in the first chapter, the book of Revelation. It's not Revelations, is it? It's Revelation. Talk a little bit about kings and priests. Amen. The power that God has instilled in us in one part of our life. To get to a point to what we're talking about tonight, I got to read some scriptures here and lead us into it. I want to start in verse number 1. Let us pray first. Father, we just love you tonight for who you are. We thank you tonight for the bread we're about to receive. God, we ask, Lord, that you would let it find a good place in our life, that it would help us to be mindful of who we are in you and the responsibility, Lord, to act the right way in you. And, Father, to know who we are tonight. Father, we just love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ unto all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own body, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. We'll talk about tonight kings and priests, who we are. He says here, also I wanted to touch on the song that Sister Wanda was singing there. You know, if you get over in Revelation 21st chapter, I mean, can you imagine going to a place where the streets are gold and the gates are made of a pearl, and every several gate is one huge pearl. It's just, my mind can't wrap around it. The walls, 12 foundation, and each one a different beautiful stone of color, you know, and just pure walls of jasper. And, you know, I can't imagine going to a place like this. And, you know, it's hard for me to describe it, or either, you know, put my arms around it to get it in my mind. But isn't it going to be wonderful? A while ago. I want you to look for me when we get there. Amen? Look for me, because I'll be there. How many plan on being there? Amen. Amen. He says that he hath made us kings and priests. Now, I want us to just pretend tonight, for the sake of pretending, that we're all kings and priests in here tonight. Amen? Don't have to pretend. How many realize who we are tonight? How many believes that you are king and priest unto God? Amen? We minister to things of God like a priest ministers to things of God. And we rule as a king on the kingdom of God here on this earth. Amen. So we're kings and priests. So we need to act like it and live like it. Amen. And talk like it and breathe like it. Amen. In this world that we're living in, that he hath made us kings and priests. I was preaching one time and I had some brothers behind me talking, and they was kind of echoing what I was saying. And one of them just blurted out, "Yeah, we're the king's kids." And I said, "I go further than that." And I flipped over the scripture. I says right here that he hath made us kings. We're not just king's kids, that he's made us kings and priests. We're kings are to rule. Kings rule. And we're here on this earth to rule the kingdom of God. Amen. He's put us here to do this. And so we need to act like it and talk like it and be who we should be. He said in Revelation in the 20th chapter, verse 6, he says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." Well, that'll be us, right? "On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign," kings reign, "with him 1,000 years. Revelation 5:10, it says, "And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." I've never seen a king without a kingdom. Have y'all? Amen. I'm telling you, God's got some great things in store for us, and we're all in the new earth. Amen. It'll be back here on the same earth, but it'll be a renovated earth that all the sin is gone, and the appearance of sin will be purified by fire, and we'll be set up here with Christ's kingdom, and we'll have our kingdom in Christ's kingdom. Amen. Amen. up here on this earth. So he's allowing us in this stage here of practicing kingship. That we need to learn how to walk in kingship. Amen. That's what we're doing. We're learning how to rule, amen, and reign upon this earth. So the church needs to rise up to who we should be in Christ. Amen. We're not in the mully grubs and in the mud and down under the elements of the world any longer, but we're to be kingly, stately, if you would, and learn how to walk and rule in this world. If we never learn it here, how are we going to rule in the new heaven and the new earth? We're not going to learn it over there. We learn it here. We got to know who we are here on this side here. Amen. First Peter in the second chapter, he said in verse 5, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Verse 9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal, that means kingly, royal priesthood. Amen. That's who we are tonight. We've been chosen to be royalty. We have royal blood flowing in our spiritual veins. It's called Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Amen. We had a transfusion from Calvary. How many has ever heard that say that I've had a transfusion from Calvary? Amen. I've got royal blood in me. That's why we act different than what we used to act. What we used to get out there in the sin and the filth and the dirt of this world. But now we're kingly and we walk different. Amen. We talk different. We act different because we are different. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Know who we are tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it's time the church take back some ground that is given up. Learn how to rule here on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. How many priests of God we got in the house tonight? Rest of y'all not priests of God? Y'all listen to what I've already said. How many priests of God do we have in here tonight? What is priest? You minister the things of God. What did the priest do, the priest of the Levi tribe? They would minister. They would go into the Holy of Holy. They would minister in the house of God. They would minister to the people the things of God. God would minister through the priest unto the people, amen. And when the people was in need, they would be the intercessors that would intercess in between God and man. That's who we are. That's what priests are. That's who we're supposed to be. That we should go into all the world, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, amen. That's who we are. Now I'll ask you again, how many priests of God we got in the house tonight, amen. Hallelujah. A priest is the official ministers or worship leaders. That's in charge of the things of the kingdom of God. They're mediators between God and sinful man. That's who priests are. That's who we are. Amen. So we need to know how to walk right, don't we? Don't we know how to conduct ourselves? Because we're priests. We're the ones that, you know, is linking God and sinful man back together. I ask you also, how many kings of God do we have in the house tonight? What is king? Kings is royalty. Amen. Kings means to rule and to reign. We need to know how to rule and we know how to reign. We know how to walk through this world with royalty. Amen. I'm not a piece of trash anymore. Look at the one next to you. Say, I'm not a piece of trash that the devil would take and drag me around. I'm somebody tonight through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He hath made me king. Amen. And priest unto the kingdom of God. I'm somebody tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How wonderful the Lord is to us. Check this one out. How do you become a king? In just flesh. It is inherited. The king's position is inherited. Amen. From a birthright, from being born into that. Amen. We're inherited kings through a birthright. Amen. And listen to this. A king's position is for life. It is not for a few days. I'm telling you, I got saved some 30 years ago. And I became a king 30 years ago. And I'm still a king tonight. Amen. I'm a king for life. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not a temporal thing. It's an eternal thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we're going to rule and reign with him forever. Amen. He said in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter in verse 4. He said, one that ruleth well, talking about the job of a bishop or a king or a priest, should be this. One that, say it, ruleth well. We've got to learn how to rule. Amen? I mean, I hear church people talking about how the devil rules them around. No, wait a minute. We've got to learn how to rule. Amen? We've got to learn how to rule. Sometimes I believe we're afraid of it. Amen. We're so timid. But he said in Timothy, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You ought to know who we are tonight. Amen. God has not given that spirit of timidity. A fear is not of God. Amen. We're to know who we are in the Lord tonight. Amen. That's what we need to know. He said, one that ruleth well his own house, having the children in subjection and all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If we don't know how to rule on this earth, how are we going to run the things in the new heaven and new earth? You think if we can't run our lives in the right way and rule and reign our lives here on this earth, and the time we're here, when we get to the new earth, God's going to entrust us with a kingdom? No, I think not. Amen. That's why it goes with what we talk about this morning. God's got to be first in our life. Amen. Amen. It's all about the kingdom. Glory to God. Proverbs the 12th chapter verse 24 said, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. In other words, the slothful will have rulers over them, but the diligent, that's a king, is diligent in what he does. Amen. Diligent shall have rule. Amen. You'll rule and reign because of diligence. What did he say in Hebrews 11:6? But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Amen. Diligence will pay off. Slothfulness will get you nowhere. Serve God with diligence, not slothfulness. Huh? No wonder half the church is under taskmasters and got them kicking them around because they're slothful in the things of God. We need to become more diligent in the things of God. Amen? We need to be precise and know who we are. Don't beat around the bush. Don't be one thing in the church and something else out there. Know who we are every day. Amen? In and out every day. Know who we are. Said the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. That's why he said in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John says, that time the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth his way into it. In other words, you're going to have to stand up for who you are. Amen. The king knows who he is, and he'll stand up and he'll push his way into it because he knows who he is. That's why he said in Ecclesiastes in the 8th chapter, listen to this. He said, where the word of a king is, there is, say it, power. Amen. Well, the word of a king, now I've already told you and give you enough scriptures to know that you're a king tonight. If you're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, he said in verse 5 that he washed us from our sins. Verse 6, and he says, and hath made us, not going to, hath made us kings and priests. So tonight here, Ecclesiastes said, you're kings, that wherever your word is, there's power. Now, it can be a negative word and it has power. Or it can be a positive word and it has power. Your word does not matter if it's negative or positive. It has power. It carries weight. Your word affects things around you. Your words are creative, amen. And what we come out of our mouth creates an environment around us that we need to understand. Our words carries a weight. Amen. That's where we're going tonight. I was talking to a fellow this past week. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And strange enough, after seeing him, hadn't seen him in, Lord, I don't know, a few years. And strangely enough, after talking with him there for about an hour, a couple days later, we was in Lowe's. And there's his wife and daughter. Wow, what a coincidence, huh? But I was talking with him, and as he talking, he was trying to remember thoughts or scriptures, and he kept saying, well, you know, my mind ain't what it used to be. My mind's slipping. You know, he just kept saying this, and I stopped him after a little bit. I said, quit confessing that. The Bible said you should be renewed day by day. Amen. Your mind should get fresher and fresher. Amen. Just cause we get old don't mean a thing. My daddy was almost 90 years old and he could click the scriptures off. His mind was sharp. Amen. Because he realized something. He realized that our mind is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. In the things of God. Don't sit around and say, I'm old and I can't do what I used to do. No, your words has got power. When you say you can't do something, you need to take that T on the end of can't, make it a cross. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't let negative words come out, because negative words has power, because you're a king. And when you speak that word, it becomes substance. There's power in your words. Hallelujah. There's power in the word of a king. He tells us, amen. Where the word of a king is, there's power. It means there's potent. Your words are potent. Your words where the word of a king is, there's power. It means to govern. It means to have rule. It means to have dominion. Your word carries dominion. Our words are powerful because we're kings and priests. Anybody couldn't go before God. They would be consumed. But a priest could go before the Lord. He tells us in Hebrews 4 and 16. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? Because we're priests unto God. We have a right to go before the throne of God boldly. Hallelujah. Who are we tonight? If we'd only realize what our words carry. It means to have dominion. Go all the way back to Genesis in the first chapter, verse 28. And he said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And what? Subdue it. And have what? Dominion over everything. The fish, the fowls of the air, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Because he made man in his own image and he's a king. So we're kingly in state. Man failed, but Jesus came and washed us from our fall in our sin and brought us back to the kingly state. And he said, have dominion, have dominion. Hallelujah. Praise goodness. Ooh, praise the Lord. Who are we tonight? Who are you tonight? Huh? Look at the one next to you and ask them, do I act kingly? Better yet, ask them, do I live kingly? Woo! Glory to God. Wow. Proverbs the 30th chapter, verse 29. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is the strongest among beasts. Think about a lion, the king of beasts. When you get down to the beast, the lion is the king of beasts. He's feared of all animals. Think about it. Which turneth and turneth not away from any. He don't have to back down from any. A greyhound, because of his speed, his swiftness. Huh? He can outrun them all. He's fast. Something to be amazed at. A he-goat, got that hard head, set in his way. He won't change. Huh? Old Gruff, I ain't moving, I ain't budging. Huh? I'm pressing my way into it. I'm pressing my way into it. And lastly, he said what? A king. Woo, look where he put us. Right in here. Amongst these great things that God has made. And a king against whom there is no rising up. Who are we tonight? Man, we ought to be like the lion. Huh? The lion goes anywhere without fear. Amen? We ought to carry ourselves like a lion. We ought to be as swift as a greyhound. Amen.
We ought to be so set in our ways in the kingdom of God, in God's way. I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm talking about so made up. He said, first there must be a willing mind, a made up mind, a man that's got his mind made up. You'll do something for God. Glory. Revelation 19 and 15. It says, talking about Jesus Christ, we know it's the coming back, the second coming of Christ, when he comes back and defeats Antichrist. It says in verse 15, and out of his, what said, mouth goeth a sharp sword. In other words, where there's word of a king, there's power. He just simply spoke the word, amen. Come on, and it consumed Antichrist. He just speak. Do you know the power of the spoken word? That Bible laying on the table don't do anything. But when you take and add faith to it and you speak that word, and the spoken word is what do it. What did God do in the beginning? Did he not speak his word? Amen. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Creative words of power. Where the word of a king is, there's power. Creative words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Help us, Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, God don't force us to be kings. He don't force us to be kingly in nature. Amen? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Evil is already working out there. The spirit of Antichrist has been out here a long time. Amen? It's evil in the world. And if you just allow that, whatever you allow, God allows. Like some people say, well, God allows Satan to just come in on me. Well, if you allow it, he will. Amen? Well, God just allowed Satan to come get my children. If you allow it, God will. Whatever you allow, God will allow. We're free moral agents. He don't force his will on nobody. Amen. But he'll back up us. He'll back this word right here. Not our words, but this word. He backs up. Amen. And so when we learn that word and we form our life and our language after that word and speak what that word said. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness in Luke, the 4th chapter, what did he say to Satan? He didn't give him his own words. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, when he's trying to make him turn the stones into bread. The spoken word is power. He didn't, after he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, he didn't ask him no more to turn the stones into bread, did he? He didn't keep on and on. Some people say, well, the devil just keeps on and on. No, no, because you don't speak the word. When you speak the word, you create power. It stings them. He won't bother you no more. Sting him with the word. There's power in the word of God, the spoken word. Amen? He says here, in verse number 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the, what? Spirit of his mouth. I ask you tonight, what spirit's in your mouth? In fact, ask the one next to you, what spirit's in your mouth? I mean, whenever we start talking negative, and I have to, you know, get on myself sometime. Whenever we start talking negative, we need to stop and say, what kind of spirit's in your mouth? Whenever somebody next to you or somebody's in the house with you or your brother and sister starts talking negative, you turn around and say, what kind of spirit is in your mouth? When we used to talk dirty when we was little, what we have to do? Get some soap and wash that spirit out of our mouth. Amen. Maybe we need to do that. Instead of having a foot wash, it'd have a tongue washing. In fact, I'll tell you what, better than that, we'll have a foot wash, and when we get through, we'll get our tongues down and wash it. Ooh. Brother Mike said he got a wife, he can't come. Have me excused. Help us, Lord. You know, in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, where it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, when he says that, he's not talking about just this book laying up there. It said that's sharper than a two-edged sword. He's talking about the spoken word. The spoken word. What was it in Acts in the 2nd chapter when Peter was preaching? Did it not say that it pierced their hearts? The word pierced, that sword, the spoken word pierces hearts. The spoken word pierces hearts. So we need to speak the word. If you're a king, speak the king's words. Talk king talk. Amen. What the word of God said. We'll say, "Brother Dave, I don't feel like that word says." Well, he said in Romans the 3rd chapter, he said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Don't make God a liar, make yourself a liar. But speak the king's words. The spoken word. The spoken word is power. Where the word of a king is, not something that he can't. "I got a word on my heart, but I ain't going to speak it." The spoken word is power. Amen. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's saying to us. Amen. Glory to God. That's why Paul said, Romans 1:16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation." He's talking about the spoken word of God is the power. That's why he said the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and what? Preach, speak, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." The spoken word has power. Amen. The spoken word. How many believes that tonight? Glory. Psalms in the 62nd chapter in verse number 11, it said, "God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." Well, wait a minute. If God spoke it once, how can I hear it twice? Because I said it. And when I said it, I heard it when God said it, amen, through his word. But when I spoke it, then I heard it again. That's why it said in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith cometh by hearing what? Hearing what? Just hearing. Hearing the right things. Take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. Hearing the right positive kingly talk will build up faith in you. When you speak it, you hear it. How many has ever talked and not heard yourself? You talked and not heard yourself? You take it. He withdraws that amen. He pushed the button too quick. Amen. I love you, Brother Mike. I've done the same thing. Don't feel bad, Brother. You get caught up in amen. 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 Oh, God is good, ain't he? How many feels good? How many glad you're a king? How many knows you're somebody? How many go talk different this week? Amen. How many go act like kings this week? How many go act like priests this week? Act like we're supposed to act. Talk like we're supposed to talk. Praise goodness. Woo, praise the Lord. The spoken word is power. It's creative power that creates things in our life, whether it's good or bad. Amen. The right words will create good and deliverance. Amen. And success in our life and so forth on. Amen. Because the words of our mouth is powerful, powerful. Whether it's the negative or the positive, powerful. Right? Amen. The power of the word of a king. Listen to it. Listen to the power of the word of a king. Romans 10:8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." Wow. "And shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I'm telling you, our creative words, it makes salvation by words. See, just believing in Jesus Christ in your heart don't save you. Because the devils believe and they fear and tremble. They're not saved. But they can't confess him as their Lord and Savior. But we can. And our words create power. See, devils is not creative beings to start with. We are. And when we speak with our mouth, it creates salvation. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and God raised him from the dead. And I accept him as my Savior. Therefore, my confession has made salvation in my life. That's the power of our words. I wonder if we could record ourselves, and I'm sure it'd hit every one of us in this room. Record ourselves all day long and listen, play it back and listen how many negative things comes out of our mouth. And then we wonder why we have problems. You know? In fact, there'll be some Wednesday night that say, well, I would like to go, but I probably ain't going to be able to go Wednesday night. Well, you ain't going to make it. As you done confessed it. Amen? Oh, me. Matthew 12:34. He said, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, so whenever we begin to speak negative things, maybe we need a heart transplant. Maybe we don't have a tongue problem, we got a heart problem. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I mean, you ever talk to somebody that everything you say, it doesn't matter, you know. I was trying to remember where it was at, but I think it's when I was taking chemo or something other, and I was listening to these couple of women talk, and one of them was talking about some surgery that they had had, you know, and how it was hard surgery, and they did this, and the next one, you know, they got to top it. You see people have to top everything you say. Oh, honey, you don't know. You just don't know, honey. That wasn't nothing. Let me tell you something. You know? And it's funny. It's funny. I mean, it is. I don't know. Help us, Lord. Maybe they just need they got a heart condition. Look at the one next to you and say, do I have a heart condition? Don't answer it. Don't answer it. Don't get a fight started tonight. Verse 35 says, a good man out of a good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. Pretty simple, isn't it? A good man is going to bring forth good things. An evil man brings forth evil things. Pretty simple, isn't it? But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. What's an idle word? An idle word, I believe an idle word is something that tears down the kingdom of God rather than builds up the kingdom of God. I believe that's an idle word. Amen? And I've seen some people that would blame God for something, and I believe they're going to have to stand before God and say, what do you mean by that I did that? You know? I've even had people that would leave this church, and the reason they told me they left was that they didn't agree with some of the things I said, that God, you know, don't bring bad things on you. I mean, how could you believe that a good God, as he is, would bring bad things on you? If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of caution. Huh? I'm on air on the side of caution that God's a good God. He's all good and no badness in him. I've read the book. You know, I've never seen where God did bad things to people. Jesus came to beat and to drive and to slap around them that are lost. Is that what he said? No, to seek and to save them that are lost. Wow. Where do people get that stuff? I don't understand it. That's an idle word. What do you mean by that? Preachers, a lot of preachers going to have to give account for them messages that they preached. Amen? Jesus is speaking this. All this I just read. In verse 37, Jesus said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." By our words that comes out of our mouth will make our day or break our day. That's what Jesus said now. You don't have to take my word, take his. He said that. The words. You remember, what was John the Baptist's dad's name? Zechariah. You know what I'm talking about. Well, Elizabeth found out she's pregnant. And, you know, the Lord spoke to him and says, "Your wife is with a child, and I want you to name him John." Well, there wasn't no Johns in their name. I mean, you know, with no Johns there. And so he just said, "I can't name him John. You know, ain't it? And the Lord went, "Zip." He didn't speak no more until the time of the birth of John, until it was time for them to carry him up, for them to name him. Now, the names were big in the Jews. They named people, and their names has a meaning. It's just like Abram. Abram meant father, but his wife was barren. He couldn't have children. Father, huh? And then God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. So everywhere, even though that his wife could not have children, he didn't have any children, everywhere he went, they would say, "Hey, father of many nations, father of many nations." Creating an environment around him of father of many nations. And he's the father of faith. Got many nations. Amen. John, they carry him up as a little baby. And they look at John's daddy for him to name him. And he went, "Give me something right with it." That's what he said. And he wrote, "John." Can you hear me? Can you hear the people, huh? And when he wrote John, he began to speak again. So sometimes it just pays us to zip it up. Amen? So we don't have to give an account or be justified or condemned by, you know, by words of our mouth. Amen? He said in Psalms in 103rd chapter. Is that where I'm going? Did I miss one? You got it? You got it? Let me find my place here. Okay, I'm with you. Glory. Glory. Psalms 105 in verse 1, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Amen. "Who forgiveth all thy iniquity and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Listen to verse 5. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with what? Good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." See, if we'd speak good things and the right things, then our life would be renewed like the eagles when we speak the right thing. Wow. It's like, you know, some people say, "Well, I'm getting old. I guess I better hunt me a walking stick." Or, "I'm getting old. I got to get me another pair of glasses. I'm getting old." You know, I mean, just come on. All that may come in time. I don't know. But as for right now, looky here. I'm going to confess what it is. Amen. That it's in him that I live and move and have my being. Amen. Glory. Oh, yes, Lord. My mind, like the fellow said, my mind's old and worn out. No, my mind ain't old and worn out. Look at the one next to you and say, "My mind is not old and worn out." Tell him it's clicking. My mind is clicking. Well, Brother Dave, that might be a lie if your mind's not clicking. I done told you, Romans, the third chapter, read it when you get home there, verse 3 and 4. He said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Well, God, what's God got to say about it? Well, you go to His Word. And His Word said in 2 Corinthians 4:16 that it says that though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. We're to get more stronger and greater in the things of God, more excited about God. I tell you, one time I went to another church, is where we started going, and they got me up there leading some songs, you know, and I looked, we go a little early on Sunday afternoon and practice, and there's a couple of sisters that sat in the church about where these two sisters right here, Sister Frances, Sister Vonsilla, they were just sitting there, you know, and somebody in the choir said, those sisters used to sing in the choir all the time. And I turned around at them and I said, hey, sisters, y'all used to sing in the choir? Oh, yeah. But we just sit back and let your younger people do it now. I said, well, the Lord will just take y'all on to heaven. So y'all ain't going to do nothing. Just go ahead and take them on to heaven. Get them out of here. See, look, because we're getting aged, we got some talent in us, amen. I can still do something, amen. It said Jacob, when he was old, leaned on a staff and blessed his sons. Hallelujah. There's something you can do in the kingdom of God. Because our inward man is renewed day by day. It's in Ephesians 4 and 3. He says that we're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Wow. I tell you why sometimes people's mind gets rusty, because they don't use it. Huh? You think our generation is bad? Wait till this younger generation gets up there. I mean, you go in there in the store and you give them a 20 and it's, you know, $15.58 you know, and the machine breaks down. They don't tell them, you know, to give them back $4.42. They don't know. They say, somebody give me a calculator. I need a calculator. I don't know how much change to give them back. I say, give me 4 ones, give me a quarter, a dime, a nickel, and 2 pennies. How do you do that? How do you do that? Man, how many of those know what I'm talking about? Because I used to work at gas stations, I had a little changer on the side. Click, 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 click. And have money up here. And you had to count it back. It blows, you know. And then, oh. If after it done told you how much you're getting back, and you start pulling, you know, 2 pennies out. Wait a minute, I don't know. You're confusing me. And can't figure it out, can you? I mean, I feel bad telling them, look, I quit in the ninth grade. I got an eighth grade education. I've actually had them ask me, how much I'm supposed to give you back? It's amazing. It's funny. It's funny. I've got my granddaughters, and I've asked them, I'd say, all right, I bought something that costs this, and I gave you this, how much are you supposed to give me back, you know? Michaela said, I don't know. She said, why are you doing that? But then I'll press her, and she'll tell me exactly what to give back, you know? I'm glad she's smart enough to do that, you know? Makes straight A's, does figure, you know, all them problems that I wouldn't even know where to start, you know, like Einstein, like the smart people, you know, all that stuff, you know, but don't know how to open an umbrella, get out of the rain. Don't know how to carry a coat. We'll be going outside, we'll be cold, you know. I look around here, I've got a sweatshirt and a jacket on, look around, and there's Michaela with short sleeves on. I said, girl, what are you doing? You ain't got no meat on your bones. I'm not cold, Papa. Michaela says, I got body heat. Because she was out with us the other night and it started getting cool. She said, my body heat's running out.
Gabby had her coat in the car, though. God is good, ain't he? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 18 and 21, almost finished, listen. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow. That'd be a good one just to kind of put around. Dash your car, drive it, David. Sister Connie gives me all the time. I'll tell you, just I don't know how some people got their license, but it can be aggravating sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? I just sit back and... huh? Not always. Sister Connie said, you ought not even drive. And then I put her over there, and she's 2 times worse than I am. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do we believe this stuff or not? We're kings, and our words has power. Proverbs 6 and 2, when we use the wrong words, we're snared with the words of our mouth. We're taken with the words of our mouth. The negative words is what Jesus is talking about. Amen. Look at how Jesus taught. It says in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 28, we're supposed to be followers of Christ. We said this morning, right? Followers of Christ. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. He used King's word. He taught them as one having authority and not like the scribes. We ought not be talking about the people of the world. Our talk should be different. We shouldn't get caught up in the things that the world is all caught up in, the down and out. But we're to speak with authority. Amen. Luke's gospel, the 21st chapter, verse 14, he says, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which, say it, all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Wow. Wow. When we speak the right words. That's what he's talking about. Mark 1 and 22, it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. John 7, 46, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. When's the last time somebody said that about you? Never someone talked like this king talk. I mean, you know, they didn't. Out on the street talking king talk. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Now another place in the Bible that the same story says, art thou come to destroy us before our time? See, they recognized the authority of a king. See, the people didn't recognize the king, but the devils did. And it says, what you got? What are you going to do to us? Are you come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You're a king. Your word has power. I believe that's what the devils do when we walk into a room. But then after hearing us talk for a while, they say, hey, we ain't got nothing to worry about. We got this in the bag. Come on. I mean, when we walk into the room, they may begin to fear and tremble and say, what are they going to do? What are they going to do to us? I wonder what they're going to do to us. And they hear us talk for a while and they say, oh, we got it made, man. It's just another unbeliever. They ain't got nothing. They don't know who they are. Amen. I remember one time I went to the hospital to visit someone. I didn't know the man. And I went with someone else. And I walked in and the guy that I was with introduced me to the guy in the bed who was a sinner. And he said, this is a pastor, David Whitfield. And the guy said, we know who he is. Somebody must have been in there with that guy. What do you think? We know who he is. Did not say Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you?
Paul taught kingly talk. Jesus taught kingly talk. They knew who they were. They weren't messing around. They weren't playing. I ain't playing. I'm talking about power and authority. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know who's with me that'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know who has made me a king and who has appointed me priest, who has chosen me, amen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I know who I am. She shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Verse 35 says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Because the word of power, the king spoke, and it was power, and they had to obey the king's word. Amen. Lastly, in Jeremiah, read it at home, Luke 4, 32, 36, those taking notes. Jeremiah 23, verse 28, listen. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Amen? Faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's why when we speak this word, there's power in this word. It's like a fire. It's what Jeremiah said is fire shit up on my bones. Amen. When Jesus talked with them on the road that believed not, and after he disappeared, he says, did not our hearts burn within us? Because a king was speaking. When we speak to people, their hearts are to begin to burn in them. Because our words are power. Something about them. Amen. It's called the anointing. It's like a hammer breaks it into pieces, the hardest heart. The word of a king will crush the hardest, stoniest heart and mellow it. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. In other words, when it's false things and you say it, and that God is this. God brings bad things on you. No, God's going to be against that kind of talk. You better watch out. Verse 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yea, I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God is against this kind of talk that's contrary to the word of God. Because why? Because it's against this powerful words. And God's against negative talk that creates havoc in people's lives. Justified or condemned by the words of our mouth. Amen. Kingly. Kings and priests. King talk. Hallelujah. Our words are powerful. Think about it. Get your CD tomorrow and listen to this thing again. Amen? Listen to your CD again. Amen. Somebody want to add to what we talked about. You